every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAMOUSE.
Or any of the anons.
We don't speak that well for ourselves.
And we probably won't sound that well either because we didn't do a test. We
That's
no
okay.
idea.
We're perfect.
We're always perfect. Look at that. Look, we're testing right now. You can see.
I have to say I sound especially good today.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Yeah, but I just dusted the board.
Well, hi. Yeah, but I just dusted the board.
I'm Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Well,
dude.
But when I dusted the little thingies, I could have, like... dislodged something.
Shelly dusts the board right before we record. Awesome!
When am I supposed to dust the board?
Any other day except the day we record?
And how would that change whether or not the little buttons got moved?
It wouldn't.
Okay, so what's the point? What is
but,
that
but
need
you
of?
As But you as the head engineer on the show could have dialed in all the... You could have sat here, plugged everything in, dialed it all in. I think that's what you did.
Actually, secretly what I did was I dusted it in a way that I would not be culpable when we find out later on that you have no voice.
Okay, well, everyone will be happy.
It looks like you have a voice, but secretly, you don't.
Everyone will be happy that I don't have a voice. How's your day, Mark?
My day was good. My day was good. My whole weekend was good. So
I effed up.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
What'd you do?
I missed my panel. That's really bad. So
take a syringe full of coke out of petty cash.
Anybody out there with a more loser life than I have that has me up on some kind of weird pedestal, knock me down because I missed my panel. Now, on the other hand, we have Shelley's story about how her day went. Oh my!
Well, no, part of it starts yesterday because yesterday was. The first victim.
Did we get that from sponsored in part by Bill Piper?
Yes, Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill P. And our listeners will probably remember, because we talked about it on the show, we got the electric bug zapper in the mail from Bill. Looked like a tennis racket.
It looks like a tennis racket with a handle that you push
yes.
a button,
yep.
it lights up, and then it's good to go.
Right, and we were talking about the fact that I was strangely attracted to the idea of zapping myself with it on purpose just to see how much it hurt.
It's kind of like someone wants to tase themselves.
Yeah.
But then
not
I,
all that different.
But then I chickened out. And then I put it aside, and at some point we cleaned up a bunch of stuff, and I forgot about it. And the other day, the horrible evil flying beetle-y thingies that, you know, we found out that they were fig beetles. They're giant. They're these huge, like, scarab things that fly around. They sound like B-52s coming in for a strafing run. I mean, it's like, it scares the crap out of me. Or maybe they don't, whatever, strafes.
P-51 Mustang Straits.
Okay, there you go.
If we're looking at older planes.
They go, meh. That's how they sound like.
Well, that would be all of those planes.
Yeah, okay, anything well, anything yeah. from back then.
Okay,
of course, that's how the B-52s, the band sounded too. But
true. Okay, then are they on a bombing run? How about
okay.
that? A B-52 on a bombing run.
Are they
run?
As big as a whale?
Yes.
They're about to set sail?
Yes.
After your
At
ass?
At any rate, so they come through the yard, and I swear these things are trying to kill me. They buzz right by me. It freaks me out. I mean, I scream like a six-year-old at a Barbie convention. It's it's just horrible. Or then, yesterday...
12-year-old girl in a Justin Bieber concert.
Justin Bieber, sure.
So yesterday I remember, oh my gosh, I have an electric bug zapper. So I took a couple of batteries out of the megaphone that Robert M. sent us.
Yes.
I almost blew that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I did. And I got the thing started, and it says clearly on one side of the racket, do not touch the net when the red light is on. I said, oh, okay. Well, the red light wasn't on because I wasn't pushing the button, so I touched the net. Apparently, it's hyperactive, and it's on whether it's on or not.
Okay.
There was a bzzzt sound, and me, Connor said he heard me screaming. I couldn't let go of the, it was like,
oh.
I mean, and then when I finally flailed, my hand got dislodged somehow. I had to run to the bathroom immediately to avoid having an issue. And then, of course, Connor hacked my Facebook and told everybody that Mom just zapped her, electrocuted herself with the bug zapper.
We don't call that hacking when you leave your Facebook profile up.
I couldn't help it. I had to go to the bathroom. I didn't have time to log out.
And he signed his name to it.
Yes, he did.
And then today?
And then today, I had my racket at the ready.
She
named
it now. I
hear them out there. Yes, the racket has a name. El Presidente de Zappo.
Okay.
And one of those things came in the garage. I raised the racket. I popped it. Not even really hard. I just kind of popped it. There was a bright flash of white light and a bzzz noise again. It threw the bug out into the driveway in two pieces.
In pieces, yes.
Good zapper.
That thing is like my favorite tool ever.
And now she like sits out here with it in her lap, like waiting for a fly or something to come in.
I started waving it through the air. I zapped a couple of flies. It was awesome.
I'm just waiting for her to say, Bruce, did you clean the top of the dresser? I'll be like, no. She'll be like, Presidente El Zappo has spoken.
This is a pretty good fire about 3-4 blocks from here, by the way.
Is there?
Yeah.
Big fire? Could you see it?
Black smoke.
Black smoke's not good.
Right around Grand.
You know what black smoke means?
So it's a building that's on fire.
Yeah, you know what black smoke means?
Yeah, it's
burning. No water on it.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
What?
That means that it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay.
We have awesome Foley skills. Awesome.
We have shout-outs to...
You know, they're considering us for Anchorman 2.
Really?
Yeah, for the doo-doo sound. Yeah, I have it on good authority.
I thought you were going to play the guy who gets stabbed in the heart with a trident.
Yeah, I should.
So we have shout-outs.
Great movie.
I know.
Sorry.
So we have shout-outs to...
I love that movie.
Bill, Donald, Phil, Brian.
Who's Brian?
Who is Brian?
I don't know. I think Deborah sent me one, too. And Greg. Greg V. A new Boozy News friend.
Greg V.
Yes. All right. Sent us some stuff.
Sweet. When you said Greg, I thought it might be a Greg we actually know.
No.
But no
Greg.
One that we know actually listens to the show.
No.
They're like, dude, we can get this all down at coffee.
No. It's not the IRL Greg. It's the other Greg.
IRL?
In real life.
Oh.
The other Greg.
I bet there's a other Greg in real life, too.
I know. There's Greg's all over the place. Anyway, the first story, actually, though, I found.
Shout out to Shelley.
Yeah. Shout out.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
87 years old.
Oh, I know this one. I saw it, but I didn't send it in.
He had a little bit of an issue with his Jag the other day.
On the freeway.
His Jaguar burst into flames on the freeway.
This is a little issue?
Little issue, yeah.
A little bit.
As he was trying to, he's swerving around the road trying to get it over. He bumped his head. He kind of slumped over the wheel. They were able to rescue him, though. They got him into an ambulance. He does still have an awesome sense of humor because on his way to the ambulance, he tweeted a picture of the charred Jag that he took as they were loading him in. And the tag said, use Jag for sale real cheap.
just because he's been around a while, how old would you say Dick Van Dyke is?
Well,
87.
According to the story,
and why
87, that's what I said.
Is he still driving?
He's spry. It's Rob Petrie.
He's spry enough that he had to be rescued because he'd gotten hurt physically. And
he still tweeted.
Took a picture of it as he was being loaded
in
the ambulance.
Look. I remember him on the TV show. He was so spry, he tripped over a
Rob
ottoman in the very first episode.
He was supposed to. That was the gag.
I know. But I don't think the gag is having your car catch on fire and you need to be rescued
from it.
The
guy's 87 years old and he's on Twitter.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're on Twitter.
We are?
Yes, we are.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but combined you guys aren't 87 years old. Oh, pretty close.
Yeah, but we have
yeah,
to.
We
wait, we're all. The show is on Twitter, so that includes you too.
Ah,
it includes all four. Yeah. All
suddenly, we just went up over 140.
Yeah. I don't twit.
I don't either. The next one is the hero of the week, or a hero of a week.
Well, thanks.
You
want to
find the
thanks hero for
alert,
warning
hero
us.
Alert, hero alert.
Kazumi Bruce. So buy me dinner first.
Da-da-da-da-da.
The hero of the week are the pilots of LL Airlines Flight 007.
Sweet.
License to kill.
Yes, but in this case, they save.
I had to throw in the James Bond theme there.
Anyway, a group of kids in Israel were slated to go to a summer camp for kids that are fighting cancer. So these are not well kids, but they've gotten they got grants and funding and everything for this group to go to summer camp for kids with cancer in New York. There were 29 of them. One girl, Imbar Chomsky, couldn't find her passport. They're all in the airport. She can't get on the plane. They don't know what to do. They figure the adults that were organizing it said, well, that we have to let the rest of them go because the plane is not just our kids. There's a whole plane load of people waiting to leave.
Right.
So they leave. They're taxiing down the runway when they found the kid's passport in one of the other kids' backpacks who was on the plane. The pilots throttled back, turned around, went back to the gate, and picked the kid up.
They win.
The entire plane burst into applause.
Well, I have to think that guys in the tower probably get a little nod for that, too, because I think you probably need to tell them, hey, we're not going to be on that runway anymore. We're going to go back over.
Yeah. We're making a left here.
Extenuating circumstances. We're like NASCAR.
Another left-hand turn?
Just nothing but lefts.
Okay. That next story that I've got
plane burst into applause except that one guy.
Well, it reminds me of the one time that the TSA decided they didn't like me. So they pulled Connor and I out of line. We were trying to get to Cincinnati to see my mom.
You're clearly a terrorist. Look at that big beard you have.
We were already late because the airport terminal had been shut down because some guy had a heart attack and they had to bring an ambulance in. So everybody was late. We were there like 2 hours before our flight and we were still almost going to miss the plane. So they pull us out of line. And I'm trying to explain to the TSA guy, you don't understand, my plane is leaving in 15 minutes, and we're still in the security line because the airport was well, this is just the way it is, blah, 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 blah. So what are you supposed to do?
Kick them in the shit and run?
No, what they did was the pilot sent a stewardess to find us. We were the last ones on the plane. We get on, she says, no, I'm pulling these people, they need to come with me. We were the last ones on the plane. People were like, yay, they're here. We got on the plane.
They let them do that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So in other words, if I'm a terrorist, all I need to do is have a friend that's a stewardess that comes down and says, we need this guy right now?
No, the pilot has to authorize it. She had a chit or a paper or something.
So if the pilot is a terrorist too, then it's all set?
I guess so.
That was nice of the air waitress to
help. Well, I still had to go through this. The thingy and get my bags and be zapped and everything. I mean, I still had to, but she, they wanted to move the plane and they knew we were the only ones not there. I'm skipping this next story because I found out that it was an urban legend.
Well, what is it? You got to tell us what it was, urban legend or not.
Okay. CNN published
a story. That's the urban legend sound effect in the background.
Apparently. CNN published a story, and if it's on CNN, people are going to think it's true. About a new drug craze called shamboiling, which is where kids put shampoo into a pot and boil it and breathe the fumes because ammonium lauryl sulfate supposedly breaks down and will give you a hallucinogenic high.
That sounds dumb.
Awesome.
So CNN published it. So, of course, people are thinking that this is a real thing. And CNN published a... Later published a...
Retraction?
Not a retraction, but a thing that said...
we effed
that
up.
They weren't that they were not aware that the story had been validated or verified or whatever, blah blah blah. But I went and looked it up, and it's there's like 10 other stories that say no, this is a crock
it's
of crap.
It's a bunch
this
of bull.
You know, people trying to make fun of kids and get them to do something stupid.
Honey, where's my shampoo?
Oh, wait, don't put the kazoos away. Kazoo alert, kazoo alert.
I have
know,
one.
I'm waiting for the other kazoo.
We're
have
ready.
A second hero of the week. In Atlanta, Georgia, Antoinette Tuff. She is, was she the accountant? Oh, the bookkeeper. Well, she is an accountant. She's a school bookkeeper at elementary school. Guy came in with enough ammunition to kill everyone in the school like five times over, 500 rounds.
Small
and
school.
Went into the office, was taking people hostage. She totally calm. This is just the average, you know, a bookkeeper, nobody special. Spent an hour talking the guy down while she was already dialed into 911 and they could hear the entire thing.
Wow.
And she did. She just she started talking to him about how, you know, about her life, and she understood how life was really hard, and you know, that he must be under a lot of stress to have gone to this these lengths, blah, blah, blah. But you can actually hear part of the thing on YouTube. She just told him, you know, it's going to be all right. And he said he admitted, he put the gun down, and he admitted that he didn't really want to do it, but that he was mentally unstable, and he needed help, and he didn't
That's
really want
I'd
to
say.
Hurt anyone.
Yeah, if somebody can share that they're mentally unstable, they're not as mentally unstable as they am, you think.
Well, he was at an elementary school in the office holding the bookkeeper hostage with a gun. That's pretty mentally unstable.
Yeah, but to say
well,
I really wasn't intending to shoot anyone, but I brought 500 rounds of ammo with me just in case.
I don't know. Well, once I got started, I figured I might as well finish the job.
Yeah. Well, good for her.
Yep. So it ended okay.
All swell.
Well, we're at 16 minutes. So
well, give us one more.
One more?
One more time.
Trying to find. Oh, my gosh, I love this story.
Then let's do
okay,
it.
Well, this would
is
be
from
a good
New
one.
York. Darius McCollum, he's 49 years old. He has been finally diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. He has also been arrested multiple times, more than 24 times.
For
what they are saying, stealing buses and trains.
How do you steal a train?
He's
yeah, because they know
really,
where it's going.
Okay, but
yeah.
here's the thing is that the people of New York think he's a hero. They totally love him. Because he's not taking them away. He's taking the buses and trains and finishing the routes.
The train, you don't have any choice.
He's, you know, choo-chooing, engineering the train, whatever it is that train operators do. He's operating the train, but he keeps on the schedule. Exactly on the schedule.
Okay, wait. Where are the bus drivers and the train
people? He waits
till
somebody steps out on a break and then takes off with their bus or their train. But he keeps the train exactly on time. He keeps the bus exactly on time. And then when that particular part of the shift is over, he stops and then fixes things that were broken on the bus and the train.
You know what they call this? A volunteer.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
But that's the thing. He doesn't. He's not affiliated with any volunteer. He doesn't even have a
license.
That's
like the guy who's home holding himself hostage. Who cares?
I always thought. But see, now I haven't ever lived in an area where there's like a lot of trains or anything like that. But I always thought they could run the subways without anyone even on the subway. Maybe not.
No, you got to have an end because of the whole dead man's break thing.
Isn't dead man's break for if the engineer is dead?
I know, but there has to be somebody there to break it.
Yeah,
if
you're not holding the thing, it assumes the engineer's dead.
Oh.
And then it stops.
So you have to push down on
the
And how would the train know that there was somebody on the track?
They wouldn't.
See, that's what I'm saying.
No, I mean,
have somebody in there.
Well, that's just fine. Collateral damage.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been arrested 29 times for this. They're calling the police. Call him a transit imposter.
Why don't they just give him a job?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say they should make him an engineer.
God. Well, the judge has said that, you know, they agree that locking him up is not going to help. I mean, he's got Asperger's. That's part of his syndrome, is that he wants to drive a bus and a train, and he wants to fix them.
Hire him.
Yeah.
And he's not costing the city any money, and he's actually saving them money.
Hire him.
He's agreed to go into counseling.
Yeah.
Avoid jail.
Hey, Mayor Babysitter, why don't you give this guy a job?
Yeah.
No, really.
Really babysit someone. Let this guy babysit the trains and the buses for you.
It's ridiculous. Okay. Oh, and that is the end of the Boobsy News. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College
at selfwillhappens.com. Mark, we have a topic.
We do.
Where'd you get it from?
I was at a panel yesterday. The panel I went to.
At an all-women's facility?
Yeah. The panel I went to.
That was at an all-women's facility. An all-women's facility. The all-women's facility that I missed out on.
Didn't go to today.
Oh, no, I didn't miss it.
I guess if I had a mic in my hand, that would have been better.
If you had a mic in your hand, that would have been easier.
That would have been much more of an acidy tone from you had you had a microphone in your hand.
Yeah.
And besides, since I said much better than the all-women panel, I didn't go to.
Yeah. So, the topic is stay in your own lane. And the topic came up because somebody in treatment was getting involved in drama that had nothing to do with her. She just needed to fill the drama void that we all have when we no longer.
So this is something that doesn't have to do with her. She's not involved, but she's going to jump right in.
Of course.
It's a fairly typical alcoholic perspective.
Uh-huh.
Shelley?
Huh?
So what do you think about that?
I'm pretty good at not jumping in now. At least at work, I am.
How about before?
Well, I had a very good sponsor when I first got sober, because every time I would go to her and say, "Oh my gosh, do you know what happened?" She'd say, "I don't know, but it's probably none of your business."
Ooh.
Or if I actually managed to explain part of something that was going on, she'd say, "This isn't going on in your life. How is this any of your business? Why are you involved in this?" She immediately shut me down.
Hmm.
So,
how about you, Mark? You ever experienced either yourself doing this or somebody else, like you sponsor someone?
Actually, had a call from someone not long ago that I don't sponsor. I just he calls me up occasionally because he gets frustrated when like a day or two goes by and his sponsor doesn't return his calls.
Does his name start with an M?
No, but you know, it's one of those things where I was taught by my sponsor that since we give our phone numbers out to people to call us, it's a really good idea to answer our phone whenever we possibly can.
Yes.
So it was like a little after 6 a.m. when he called me. For some reason, this And this guy called me up, and he was upset because a friend of his from when he was out getting loaded, that's still a friend, that has a girlfriend who's also a friend of his, and a one-year-old child. I don't know if they're friends yet
or not. I can feel the drama seeping from this one.
That he's physically abusing his girlfriend.
Hmm.
Which I said she should call the police.
Yes.
That wasn't good enough.
Yeah, what should I do?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Now, I understand the immediacy to it. Is this your problem? Well, I haven't had many altercations over the last 30 years, but the one I have was about somebody taking a swing at a woman. So, yeah, I don't know. Just tend to get involved in those.
Yes.
But after the fact, it's like, have her call the police. That wasn't good enough. Okay, have her call House of Ruth, which is a facility here in our local area.
Battered Women's Shelter.
Battered Women's Shelter. So, for some reason, none of those were a good idea. And I said, how do you think this turns out if you get involved?
Play the tape all the way through?
Play the tape all the way through. How do you think this works out? There's one possible good thing that could happen. And a lot of really bad things that can happen. So, you know, but it's just, I understand because, I don't know about you, but I think back to the last, what I can remember of the last 6-8 months I was getting loaded. There was a lot of drama. Because, you know, we all know pretty much the money's run out.
Yes.
The desire to use hasn't.
Yes.
And the quantity needed to get somewhere near the desired effect has increased.
Yes.
So
friends have decreased.
The friends have decreased.
Your living situations have decreased.
Yeah. So there's a lot of drama to every single day. A lot of logistics have to go on in order to get loaded.
Yes.
And we spend a lot of time doing that. And all of a sudden, that's all gone. So we have to fill that in. And the natural, comfortable response is to fill it in with new drama.
Think how many people get loaded for the thrills of, you know, half of it's the going and getting and
yeah.
And being deceptive and all that.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I just kind of told him, you know, give her some direction, but stay out of it. But
I got a call today. I was at this kick-ass coffee place called 85 Degrees. Get a call from this girl, young girl. Has dated two guys I know, both of whom have questionable problems. But I keep telling her she needs to do what her sponsor says, which is lay off the guys, get some time. Later on, go out with guys with time, you know, that kind of thing.
That's bad advice.
Well, my ex called me from a recovery place or a mental hospital and said he's in there. Can I come visit him? And I don't know if I should go. And I said, well, hey, he's not in there because I saw him yesterday. At the liquor store. And, I don't know, maybe I should go help him. I'm like, A, it's none of your concern what he's doing. He's your ex.
Right.
B, he's probably getting loaded. So it's the concern of his sponsor and his friends in the program, if anybody, and that's only if he goes to them and asks them for help.
Right.
And then, of course, I ended up with, what did your sponsor tell you? And she said, well, she told me it was none of my business to stay out of it. And I'm like, and you told me at the beginning of this conversation you're really trying to do what your sponsor says? And she goes, well, yeah. And I'm like, but you're calling me, and what I'm guessing is you're calling me because I have some time, and I have about 12 times the amount of time your sponsor has, and you're thinking that if I say it's okay, that kind of usurps what your sponsor says. And she goes, yeah, I'm kind of doing that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not co-signing that. And said, you need to stay out of that crap. But, you know, there's one, you know, she's going to get back in the drama of an ex. And I said, you know why he's telling you that, right? She goes, well, he wants me to get back with him. I go, of course. So he wants you to think he's doing things and please come visit me and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I go, and she goes, well, I'm really not thinking about him. I said, but yet you're calling me telling me how you really want to go visit this guy, but yet you're not thinking about him? I don't think so. So why don't you try and let that one go? Now, Shelly, you ever have any sponsees that get into the drama or somebody else's drama?
Yeah, but I don't really have a lot of issues with this particular sponsee because the minute I say, "Is this something you should be staying out of?" Oh, yeah, I guess it is, and then that's it. She doesn't give me any flack.
What kind of sponsee is that?
Yeah.
What kind of sponsee is that?
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of silent whispering going on.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, you know. Don't want to say any names of the.
Oh no! I'm gonna front her off right now.
What? No, she's doing a great job. So I don't. Usually when I have in the past with sponsees that I mean, you know, my sponsees. I'm a sponsee killer. They sign up with me because I'm the starter kit.
I would,
but usually when I tell them that you're doing something, I don't think this is any of your business. They immediately proceed to tell me why it's their business, and then they go and get a new sponsor. So,
isn't this isn't one of the sponsees' responsibilities in their current line of work to sort of get involved in people's drama? In a way,
sometimes yes, but not in these two particular.
So
occasions.
she can tell the difference.
In this case, it was pretty apparent. That's why I asked, is this something that you should be involved in? Instead of what I say to other people, which is, how is this any of your business?
Because she'll listen.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen to your sponsor, always a good thing.
Although, speaking of, if she's listening to this and she knows who she is, she needs to call. I haven't heard from her in a couple of weeks.
Well, why don't you just front her off right here on the show?
Well, I didn't name any names.
So I vote front her off.
Nope.
No.
Aw.
That's right. This isn't a meeting.
Just one letter.
How is this any of your business?
No, I'm just getting involved in the drama. Yeah. Look at that. How easy this happens. I want to jump right in that drama.
Yeah.
It's not drama. I just want to talk to her.
How about people that call you up and they've got an issue with drama and they're kind of on the outskirts of them, but it's going to directly affect them at some point, even if it's not right now. What do you do?
Oh, I hate that. It's like you can see the train coming and you can't get off the tracks. And there's nothing you can do.
I see a way out. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
That's the train.
It's an oncoming train.
Whoops.
No, I mean, like, we see that a lot in, like, family situations. I'll use this as an example. Let's say, and this is a completely fictitious, but let's say there's a couple. They're now apart. The one person who's part of the couple is actively drinking again. The other one's sober. There's custody involved. There's all this. You see it coming. There's going to have to be something happen because, yeah, is it not your, you know, it's not really your business that they're getting loaded. Yeah, but they're taking care of my child part of the time. You know, what do you tell them? Do you tell them to get involved in the drama now? Or you tell them to wait it out?
Tell them to have faith in their higher power.
Ooh. How about you, Shelly?
And call and talk to their kid every day.
And their sponsor.
There you go. So, if you were to give your final words, Shelly, on what are we calling this one?
Stay in your own lane.
What would your final words on stay in your own lane be?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is true for everyone, but for me, you know, one of the things that my sponsor and I worked on early in recovery was the whole gossip thing. Because for me, part of not staying in my own lane was the desire to talk about what other people were doing. But when we stopped gossiping, it was a lot easier to stay in my lane because I had no vested interest in getting all the dirt on people. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
If it wasn't any of my business, I didn't need to listen to what other people were talking about to other people because I wasn't going to be passing it on. So, you know, what is it they say when you're in grade school and you're taking a test? Keep your eyes on your own paper.
Ooh.
there you go. I mean,
keep
makes
your
life
eyes
a lot
on your
easier.
Own paper. Mark,
yeah.
What's your final words on staying your own lane?
The shoulder of the road is for emergency vehicles only. Contact them. Let them get involved. You know, and that's one of the things that we do is when we get, we're so used to not wanting anything to do with the authorities when we're out there getting loaded that we forget that when we're not getting loaded and we're actually like real, like common citizens, that when there's a problem, you call the police, you know?
Yeah.
My husband's getting drunk and I'm afraid because he's got my child every now and then. Call the cops.
There you go.
Bad boys.
Bad boys.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when they come for you? My final words would be the regular lanes on the highway where all the drama is, you can always take the diamond lane.
Ooh.
Or the fast pass lane or whatever part where you can just go around all that. Without needing
you know why?
To stop.
You know why?
Why?
Because if you're calling your sponsor, that means you'll have two or more in the vehicle.
Oh, and your higher power makes three.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. So, Shelley.
Yeah, I'm going to get in the diamond lane, and when they pull me over, I'm going to say, but there are two of us in the car. My higher power's here.
And my sponsor's on
well
and my sponsor's on my cell phone right now.
I give you a 70% shot that the guy lets you go.
I don't know.
You never
I
know.
Give you 70% shot.
I think
my
I'm
higher
try
power
it.
Is here with me.
The greatest thing ever. The other day, we're sitting at Starbucks. We can see the
checkpoint,
the drunk checkpoint on Citrus Street. And
how fun is that?
The greatest thing is when you watch, and there's someone who's in the far left lane who coming up sees what's coming, goes two lanes over the right hand lane and makes a turn, and then the two motorcycle cops in the gas station go and pull them over.
Yeah.
I must have seen – while we were there, we must have seen 15 or 20 cars get pulled over that tried to make the right turn to get out of
there
the way.
There were cops all over the place, like a swarm.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot we pulled out of the lot. We'd been watching it the whole time. I pulled out the normal way and went, oh, I forgot there's a checkpoint. Oh, well. Like, I didn't even care.
Guy's like, you've been drinking tonight? I can't remember what Shelley said. And I looked over and said, not for 23 years. Guy goes, all right, go ahead.
I just held up my Starbucks. I'm like, yeah, well, Starbucks.
Spike with vodka. So, Shelley, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark, we got people listening to the show.
I appreciate that.
In a variety pack of ways.
I appreciate that. I'm about a week behind in listening to the show.
Oh. So, well, you help record them, so it's not going to be new to you.
Yeah, but then I don't go play.
There
I
you
don't go.
Go
do the stuff.
And we've been posting on time this week.
Do you
Our
like?
Our schedule is working.
I like.
And comment?
I don't comment.
Mm. That would explain why the likes exceed the comments.
Yeah, that's me. But anyway, if you're listening to the show, we thank you very much. If you are listening to the show in some way other than going to our site, we ask that you go to recovery101.net. And you can listen to the show there, or you can just go on and you can click permalink and you can like the show and comment and put us on your playlists.
Yeah, because if you listen somewhere else is okay.
Yeah.
But if you go and, you know, like liking us on Facebook is great. And commenting on Facebook is great, but it doesn't do anything for our Podomatic numbers.
But if you like us on Podomatic, it makes a difference.
And we've had three or four new people follow us and are beginning to comment and stuff as well.
Because we're like two sponsors away from being able to take phone calls.
Yeah, that reminds me. I got to put you in touch with that person.
Yeah, you told me that a week ago.
I know. Right after this.
Okay.
Right after this. I'll forward you something.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, don't forget, if you're on Facebook, if you're one of the Facebook-friendly, you can like us, follow us on for Recovery 101 Radio. There's also a Recovery 101 Radio group, which is a closed group. If you don't want people knowing you're in recovery that are outside of that group, you can join that and it doesn't show up on your news feeds and stuff. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you want to send in boozy news and stuff like that, you can send that into there. Shelley administrates that. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
Hua.
Hua. KMET 94.7. KMET Tweedly. No one's going to know what that is except for people in Los Angeles.
That are over the age of 45.
I was going to say the Mighty Met.
Yeah. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
It's by Matt Land.
Sweet. I
Dude.
Like it. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Isn't it as close as we have known? Isn't it believing in something again? What I know, I'm falling in. The storyline unfolds. I'm falling in.